Hey guys, welcome back to Reality TV. What a big weekend. And of course, I am talking about the accidental photo Chris Evans displayed for all the world to see. And while I do have a lot of thoughts, actually, I want to share on this topic, I encourage you to stop what you're doing or keep listening and multitask and go and take a look at my Instagram and Twitter where I posted a little competition pic for Mr. Evans. Yeah, you heard me right. He thinks he's so special, but I didn't even have to look past my very own backyard to make the man want to look in the mirror, and probably every man, as a matter of fact. And more on that topic with truly an expert on all things phallic. You know her, you love her, Amanda. Only half kidding here, but we are going to do a little bony bonus episode on Patreon at the higher tiers because I really do have some strong opinions on this topic and really the whole dick pic leaking phenomenon. I'm also going to be doing a recap of the new Life After Lockup over on Patreon. So head over to patreon.com/lovetohateTV, and that supports me, supports the podcast, and also you get free stickers, mugs, shirts, hoodies. All of that includes free international shipping. And remember that prices go up in October, but if you sign up this month, you are going to lock in this lowest price ever, forever. And remember, you get my entire, oh my goodness, I'm probably on 140 some bonus episodes and crossover episodes with Amanda like we do for Marriage Bootcamp. And if you love Amanda like I do, you also get her entire library now. But if you just like one of us, no hard feelings, you don't have to listen to her or me. You just can listen to our solo episodes like we always had on our separate Patreons, but we're women supporting women. We're coming together during this crazy ass time. So again, that's at patreon.com/lovetohateTV. Now, speaking of doing things solo, I want to touch on someone who seemingly is doing it all on her own. And I'm talking about Ashley Darby from Real Housewives of Potomac. She's really messing with, maybe it's just my mind, but I think she's trying to mess with all of our minds this season. She just had a baby and she's trying to make it sound like her husband, Michael, is this absentee father. She's home all alone and he resents her and she resents him for a number of reasons. Yet they just announced that she's pregnant again with baby number two. Now, of course, I want to say congrats, right? But I don't know what is going on with these two because they're very messy on this show. And I have a theory of what is being shown to us on TV versus what's going on in real life. I think Michael and Ashley are actually fine with one another. To me, it seems like there's an arrangement of some sort that Ashley is okay with, perhaps certain activities Michael takes part in extramaritally, which is why I think Michael going to the strip club this past episode or two to see women in particular was absolutely planned. Think about in previous seasons, there was all this talk about Michael being gay, touching men, obviously the lawsuit with the cameraman. He was dancing with other boyfriends and husbands. I think he said he wanted to do certain things with one of the other husband's privacies. So what better way to disprove all those gay rumors than to be caught in a strip club motorboating some boobies and asking female strippers to come home with you, right? I don't believe any of these accidental photos anymore, which leads me back to Chris Evans. But we'll dive deeper into that literally, well, not physically, maybe in our imaginations on Patreon, because I definitely want to talk some more about these so-called wholesome couples and these accidental leaks. But let's get to the bright spot in the middle of the week. And that, of course, is Married at First Sight. At this point in the experiment, it's been about 2 weeks, which means they've been living together back in New Orleans for a little over a week. Dr. Cal tells us that in this week's episode, they're going to be learning to love one another. How is it that they show support on a daily basis in order to make a successful marriage? I'm going to start with Brett and Olivia this week because we really didn't get to see too much of them until well into the first hour of the episode, which again, can we cut these down to at least an hour and a half? 2 hours is a bit much. But I was fine with not seeing much of them because there is nothing between them. All of their conversations are boring because there's just no chemistry between them, not even as friends. Brett's at this point where he's so not into it that everything is coming off with this dry, sarcastic response. And I know that's a lot coming from me, but I don't think it's always well-timed. Actually, it's almost always ill-timed. And Olivia doesn't seem to be the type of person that really appreciates sarcasm, even when it is well-played. You know what I mean? Like, she really wants to get serious. And I think she's over trying to be polite about it and explaining to him in a patient tone of voice, you know, that she wants to get deeper with him. Because all he does is deflect with his, in my opinion, terrible sense of humor. And that is so freaking frustrated. I mean, there's people in my life that do that with me. And I'm almost always joking about things, even when it gets serious. But the way that Brett is doing it is just irritating. But I did love one scene with Olivia this week when she was not with Brett. Surprise, surprise. It was when she met up with Imani and they go on this walk later. And I just love their friendship because you can tell it's a really sincere connection that they've made. You know, like they're actually friends even outside the show. And it made me think about times in my life when maybe my friend was really just having a shitty time. You know, if you look at Imani, she's falling in love and she's so happy, but it kind of sucks for her because she clearly can't be, you know, gushing about it and telling about all these great things she loves because her friend Olivia is really going through it with freaking Mr. Burns and his nostrils flaring all the time. And on the other side of that, it also sucks for Olivia because she's happy for her friend. But does she really want to hear how happy she is when she's clearly miserable? No, it's just, it's those rough times in your friendships, but that's why you're friends. You know, I'm not saying you don't want to be friends with that person or you're less happy for them. It's just that like, oh, I wish we could both be on this walk and either griping about our significant others commiserating together or just talking about how amazing the experience is. So I wish they could share that with each other. All right, let's talk about Amelia and Bennett. These two, oh, how they bounce my emotions all around. So Bennett turns out is under the weather and under a pile of blankies. So newly minted in love, Amelia dashes off in the darkness to fetch him some ginger and honey tea. Two things here. Number one, they're definitely newlyweds because there comes a time in every long-term relationship when your partner is sick with the sniffles. And said partner starts off with that little tickle in their throat and you tell them, you know, why don't you go take some vitamins or, you know, maybe pop a Sudafed or something to head it off. But they don't listen. Yeah, you know where I'm going here. Fast forward 12 hours and they're meowing from under the pile of blankies, requesting for things. And now you become Florence fucking Nightingale. When had they listened to begin with and took the Tylenol PM, they would have been happily sleeping it off. Number two, I am really impressed, but not surprised that Bennett knows homeopathic remedies for fighting congestion and infection. It seems he also knows the remedy or recipe for doodly-doo. He actually hummed a tune that the words were doodly-doo. But let's talk about his doodly-doo, also known as Bennett giving Amelia his pit if you know what I mean. Yeah, these two did the deed. They sealed the deal. Bennett erected his tiny house once more. He also shared that phlegm and germs that he had with Amelia, because by the end of this episode, they were coughing and hacking up that same grime. And guess what? I was loving it because they're so nerdy and smart and cute that I like them. Dare I say I love them. Somehow, these two, even with the weird cake and the matching parachute pants that looks like they were made from actual parachutes, makes sense. Like, what else were they supposed to wear? Of course they're going to wear that. These two are so non-conventional, non-conformative, that even when they use... All right, let me see if I can explain this here. Even when they are using their free will, it's actually conforming to each other for once in their lives. I know, deep, but somehow it makes sense. Now, let's fast forward to the slack line. Like many things that happen on this show, you know, swimming with dolphins or, I don't know, going for hikes up a waterfall. This is just another thing that does not scream fun to me. I don't know how this is fun for anyone. It looks like a killer core workout, but for fun? Even people in the circus who have to do this for a living do it because they have to, or they had to do it at some point. Like, go back to the history of circuses. People join the circus because people were being assholes to them for being extra hairy or a little person, or they had piercings all over their body and shit, right? I mean, maybe that's not historically 100% accurate. Don't hate me, circus historians. I'm just trying to say, I don't think tightrope walkers would be like, oh my God, this is so much fun. Check this out, how I can have this rope ricochet and snap me in the crotch. If I were Bennett trying this out, I would put on a brave face. But as soon as that thing, I mean, that was like a severe rope burn wedgie sort of thing, I would have tapped out, you know, TKO, I'm done. Hand me the cake and the piñata, or don't. I mean, the piñata I can take. That's always fun to, you know, beat something with a bat. Let's look at Tony McKelty's wedding from Sister Wives. The cake, we can pass on that, because between the disgusting, what's that called? I was going to say candy cane. Cotton candy. Jesus, I got to wake up here. The cotton candy hair and that apple nose. It was like hand-whittled. You know, it was just manhandled with fingers all over it. Amelia's friend, her hands, disgusting. And the cheese, you know, I'm always a cheese fan, but it looked a little gamey. Like it had been sitting around for a while, warm, starting to go transparent. All that to say, that date was adorable. Even their cringy moments, like Bennett wanting to borrow her probably equal dirty socks, it's adorable. The dates I would consider physical torture, they love, and that's lovely to watch. I sometimes even find myself with my mouth wide open, smiling and laughing like Amelia. And that's not even a joke, I actually do. You know, like when you see people posing for a photo and you find yourself smiling, like, go ahead, smile, and you're, you know, knocking your head to the side as if you are actually that invisible friend, kind of like Back to the Future. That's what I do during this entire episode. I just mirror Amelia, but my hair's clean and I don't have things stuck in there like glitter and birds and probably an extra little clip for her slack line, whatever. Okay, let's talk about Henry and Christina. So it's the day after this big fight that wasn't really a fight. It was more just Christina snapping at Henry. And Henry is trying to smooth things over because that's Henry. He is not a confrontational person. I've talked about this before. With having a dad like Henry has, you learn just to keep your mouth shut, keep your head down, and go with the flow. And that's exactly what he's doing. Now, the good news is that Christina got a new shirt. I actually loved it. It was like boho light blue instead of that 1993 Neve Campbell ribbed floral tea thing she normally has going on. And she actually looks very good in pastels, which not every dark brunette can pull off. Now, the bad news is Christina has something she needs to share with Henry. And you're going to want to sit down for this because this is one of the biggest bombshells in Married at First Sight history. Christina takes a prescription for ADD. I know, you're probably like, Jody, slow down a second. Let me write this down. What is ADD and how do we get her to the Mayo Clinic or Allie's geneticist, Dr. Sal? But we got to figure this out. What is ADD? Or do we just say it ADD? What's going on? Now, obviously, much like Brett, I'm being sarcastic. Because I really hope, truly hope, I was not the only one watching being like, that's it. That is what she was so compelled to share. That was the big moment we were leading up to. I would love to know who these ADD deniers are that Christina's talking about, because I think that's different than anti-medication people, who Christina's mom sounds like. And to those people, that's great. But if you are not living with the condition, I think you should zippy lippy and let the people who are living with it decide what makes them feel better. And if they want to take a medication, then go ahead and take it. If it helps you feel better, take all you need with a doctor's prescription. I just was really annoyed with the ADD non-drama, and I'm hoping it was just an editing move. Like the editors made it look like a big thing, and it was not that Christina was creating it as a thing. Now, later, they answer these questions that the producers gave them. And surprisingly, Christina actually showed a softer side, which made her slightly more likable to me. Now, I don't trust her with our little Henry's elusive, tender heart. And I still don't think they are compatible, even as, not even as neighbors, to be honest. But Christina is showing herself to be not the complete narcissist that I thought she was before, because if she can look inside herself and admit, hey, I can snap, I can be moody, I have ADD, I gotta take medications, she's capable of looking inside and seeing her own faults. So I don't think it's fair for me to call her a narcissist anymore. I apologize. I know. Look at me being the softie this week. I'm just full of compliments. And get ready for it, actually, because I have one more. Now, when they went golfing, I did what I always do whenever anyone golfs on a reality TV show. I call Dave into the room and I tell him to just give me the full rundown. Tell me how their swings are. I want to know about their clubs. What can you tell from this person about how they are golfing? Because he was a former golf pro, and it's a sport that I know nothing about, that I'm not very good at, and I'm very insecure about. So I let him do the hard work on this one. So he watched as they were at the driving range, and he said, Henry's swing is fine. He's okay. You can tell he golfs, but he's not spectacular. He said he probably shoots in the 90s. I think that's like, okay. But anyway, let's talk about Christina, because that's really what I wanted to know about. He said Christina was actually really good for a first timer. That's the compliment that I was talking about. Although Dave always tells anyone that even making contact with the ball on your first time out is a huge success. I know, I'm not as nice as he is, right? But I will also point out that Christina was not dressed for golf, because typically you should have a collared shirt, even for women, cover your shoulders, like you shouldn't be wearing a little strappy spaghetti strap kind of thing. So her frilly shirt and the sweater and the jean skirt was a huge swing and a miss, if you will. Now let's jump to the dance lesson. I thought it was fine. I hate watching people take dance lessons because it's always awkward, but we gotta give it to Henry because he certainly went outside his comfort zone, which means he's going to get a little sticker on his passport milestone chart when he gets home. Now let's talk about Karen and Miles, because they really do keep you guessing. Although I did see a spoiler on at Maths Fan on her Instagram. I won't give it to you. If you want to know, go back. I'm sure she has it saved in her story. She's really good at that kind of thing. So I know what the present state of their relationship is, but I'm still guessing as I'm watching these weeks go on. So in this episode, Miles fixes Karen's car, and I love when I see guys fixing cars. And I know that kind of sounds like anti-feminist, but it's not even that it's like a big manly thing. It's saving me money. And that, like the monster human Ramona Singer would say, that is my aphrodisiac, because that means more Target dollar spot money for me. Now, Miles is really cute. He's trying really hard. Like, they call in the chef. And honestly, between Miles and the chef, I would probably take the chef because, I mean, he can cook. And I could also blame him for why my second chin is going to be a big sister. You know, like, oh, you cooked me all this food. But Miles is a really good partner. You know, like, he wants to learn how to cook because he wants to be able to do things for Karen to make her feel good, but it also makes him feel good because he's a nurturer. I'm kind of like that too, where I always feel like I have to be doing things for people, not because I have to, but because I have to for myself. It makes me happy, which is why I think Miles and I'd be really happy. I'm just kidding. You guys, I know I'm always saying shit about like other guys or whatever and jokingly dissing Dave, but we're happily married. I should just put that out there. I want to remind you of something that Karen said, or actually, no, I said it last week about Karen, about something she said. I understand exactly what Karen meant and what she means. You know, like when someone is doing so much for you or coddling you, in Karen's case, swooning over her, and it hasn't been that long of a period of time, like it's really only been days for the two of them. She's wondering, like I used to, why are you doing all this romancing? Is it because you're a schmoozy guy? Is this just what you do when you try to become close with someone? Or is it truly because of me and my personality? I don't think Miles is schmoozy, but I understand where Karen is coming from. And as a woman who does not want or need a lot of coddling or handholding, it's so hard to say to someone, can you like not do all this stuff for me? Can you not be that into me? Which I know sounds insane, right? But at this early of a stage, again, we're only in week two. I think Miles easing off just the tiniest little bit and letting Karen breathe would probably make her fall faster because it would give her room to just meet him halfway. Does that make any sense? I mean, look at how she reacted at the end when he started talking about sex. Like, that was way too much for her because she's still at the, oh, we're kind of going on dates stage. And so when he's bringing up sex, I can understand why she's uncomfortable. And I tend to believe it was more Karen just not wanting to talk about her specific sexual preferences for the crew that's in the room and the cameras and all of us. And the reason she got so upset about that was because it was obvious as all hell that she did not want to talk about it. But Miles kept pushing and kept thinking it was funny. And she wasn't reading it as he's laughing and joking with me. It was more like he's laughing and joking at me. So she got defensive and took that as he's disrespecting her. And she's already feeling like she's being pushed too fast. It was just too much. So Miles, we're rooting for you, man. You just don't fuck it up anymore. Now, Woody and Amani. I mean, these two just make it look so easy. Let's go get mani-pedis together. Let's massage each other's hands and backs, and let's talk about my hair. It sounds cute, right? And I was falling into the trap. I was watching this. I was leaning in and I was like, oh my God, look at them going together everywhere and Woody wanting a say in how his woman looks because he's just so proud of her and he's so attracted to her. And then I was like, wait, hold on. What did you just say to yourself, Jody? Woody wants a say in how his woman looks? No, I'm not saying he's misogynistic. I don't think he is. I think he's just really into looks and the physicality of things and people. And I was actually starting to get a little, I'm not going to say jealous, but like wistful. And that's where I stopped myself, because remember that they're just falling in love, you know? So going to the nail salon and having mani-pedis and drinking a glass of wine together sounds really adorable and like a great date. But realistically, if I were to say, hey, I'm going to go get a pedicure, which I really do because, you know, me and germs and toenail fungus, none of us get along. But if I did, I certainly would not want to go with Dave. I would be like, could I just get a fucking minute alone, please? Can I have some bubbles fly all over my feet without having to speak with someone, just silence? And if someone's going to tell me how they like my hair, then I should be able to say how I want my bathroom. I don't want to see toothpaste in the sink. I don't want to see beard stubble stuccoed to the side of the sink. That's fair game. That to me is cute. Going back to the adorable things that newly dating couples do. So sweet. Such an innocent, innocent time. Now, I'm not going to make much of this in love versus love, Amani not loving Woody at this point, because he loves her, and obviously it's just a matter of time. And if I'm already fallen for that adorable, cheesy, tiny chicken nugget of a man, there's no doubt Amani will or already has fallen for him, but she's playing coy. You know, maybe she's trying to score more of those free mani-pedis and massage days, which would be pretty damn genius. It's September and I am still feeling my feels. Now, there are sponsors that I pass on because I just don't enjoy or use their products or services, but Feels CBD is not one of them. Full disclosure, I received a sample way back in January, I believe, but since then, I have become an actual paying customer using my own promo code. I hope you've tried Feels by now, or you will give it a try, because I know you'll love it as much as I do. CBD has been proven to reduce anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness, but Feels isn't your everyday gas station CBD. It's premium CBD that's sourced and made here in the US, and it provides a gentle, natural solution without a hangover or high. You just put a small dropper full under your tongue, and for me, in about 10 minutes, I'm realizing I'm not breathless and I'm able to focus without feeling anxious. If you're new to CBD like I was, Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience, and there's no commitment. You can pause, cancel, or change anything at any time, truly no strings attached. I love Feels, and I love knowing there's an all-natural way to feel better. Become a member today by going to feels.com/realityTV, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's Feels, feals.com/realityTV to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. That's feels.com/realityTV. Okay, let's jump into 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. Last week, I did a recap of 90 Day Fiancé over on Patreon, and I talked a bit more about this, and I have not changed my mind about Paul specifically. I don't want to say anything else about Paul, because giving him even the tiniest bit of attention, an ounce of attention, only encourages the guy to try to make fame for himself instead of getting an actual job that's going to support his kid and hopefully his soon-to-be ex-wife. So I don't think any responsible podcaster, oh God, I don't know if I want to call myself responsible, but you know what I mean? I think we just need to let Paul figure out his own life. And if he's going to screw it up, I don't want to be part of following it along and giving him attention on social media. Okay, so let's just move on. Let's talk about Colt. I'm not going to shame Colt for his weight, because no one is perfect. I am on my own weight loss journey, as I have been for basically my entire life. But Colt, don't go prancing around on your tiptoes at some monster's idea for like a fun, family-friendly park and make it seem like you're doing burpees and lunges on the reg. when you're puking to that degree after throwing your body weight off a wall, you're full of shit. It looks like he's working out. It looks like he's lost some weight, but okay, you know what? I take it back. Fuck it. Colton's a manipulative piece of shit, so I don't feel bad for talking about him looking like a CrossFit Caillou prancing around there pretending like he plays football with all the guys. He's just one of the guys. He's a disgusting man who uses women for his own gross fetish fantasies, whatever it is that he's got to find women from different countries, and then make it seem like he's the victim. That's all he does. He mopes around and he's like, I've had some dark days, so I really need some friends around to pick me up. Really? You have no one around who can help lift your mood? How about Debbie? But she hasn't cooked you up some beef stew to cheer you up lately? Now he's got this new friend, this good Samaritan who probably wants to open up like a meditation or yoga studio. And this guy is making Colt count to 10, which, oh my God, I mean, the physical reactions within my body just closing, fusing up. I mean, forget Zen Zach or whatever this guy's name is or going to be, because, you know, he's going to be on some future double date and him talking to Colt about being a victim. Forget that guy. If Colt needs a long-term career, he should probably go into women's fertility, like a no laser, no incision tubal ligation, because all he needs to do is open up his mouth and there is just like an instant closed down shop within every woman within like a 10-mile radius. He could be like a toll booth tubal ligation, a tube toll. Okay, let's fast forward through that, because anyone who wants to get pregnant, I wish you all the luck in the world. Just don't go anywhere near Las Vegas or Colt. Now, I am not even going to talk about Larissa, because I've said it probably 50 times in the last 6 months. I'm just over it. It's pathetic what she is spending her own money on, other people's money. Fast forward, she's boring. Angela and Michael, however, were not boring at all, although I still think she's a terrible person. So she got married. She's wearing her green bra. I think she might have had hair ties around her wrist, or it was like a black rope kind of necklace thing that she thought looked good with a white dress. Not so much. But yet, despite Angela being a horrible person, Michael looked happy. And for that and that alone, I was happy for him. Yes, she's super obnoxious. I'm sure this will be the high point, the happiest Michael will ever be moving forward, because we all know, you know, when Angela's happy, everyone else cringes, which brings me to Angela, the blushing bride, the new Mrs., barrels into the room where her best friend is staying, and she high fives her own orgasm, like she's Michelle Obama with a fist bump and a when they go low, we go high. You've got to be kidding me. I mean, embrace your sexuality, be sex positive, but come on. I mean, the kids on the Jersey Shore didn't even do this. And no one needs to know whether you are or are not wearing underwear. Isn't the point of that, like, to be all coy about it and make it a surprise for your partner? Well, the only people that Angela surprised were us, the viewers, because she just keeps lowering the bar. Actually, the opposite of Michelle Obama. Like, when she goes low, everyone in the world goes lower with her. She goes on to talk about, in public at this bar, the things she has done to Michael in a car and what she is going to incorporate into their relations back home. None of us want or deserve to know all this information. Now, shifting gears, later Angela gets a phone call from, what, Scotty, I believe, and she learns that her mom has been rushed to the ICU, and she doesn't know if she's going to make it and whether she's going to make it home on time to see her before she passes. And I think all of us can empathize with her. Most of you guys know my dad recently passed, and I would have held off leaving the country if there were ever even a small chance that someone important to me, a parent, could pass and me not be there during their last few days. That's just me. Everyone's got their own, you know, wants and needs and things. I just feel like Angela could have held off, but I kind of feel like an asshole saying that because you never know how many days anyone has left. So there you go. I don't know. I just don't like talking about death and all that. It's just really, really hard. So let's talk about Asuelu and Kalani, because I was actually ready to go off on Asuelu's mom. Like, I really was upset, especially at the beginning of the episode. Obviously, I'm a mom. I married the only son in a family. I have a brother. I have a brother-in-law. I have a former brother-in-law. So I see this situation from many an angle. Obviously, I am not Semwan, but purely from a family dynamic, I could never, ever shun my son and grandkids because he wouldn't give me money. You know, if the whole point of this cultural uniqueness that they're saying about the Semwan culture is that you show love and you remain close and you take care of each other, well, you could also say, damn, how quickly that objective can change when you get greedy. So at the end of the day, I think the bad seed, that's the best way to say it, the bad seed here is Tammy. I mean, Asuelu's mom ended up caving and apologized by the end, which seemed very sincere, but Tammy was still staring at everyone at that table with this blank, robotic look in her eyes. Like, something is really off with her. And if I were Kalani, I wouldn't leave my drink alone with her or eat anything that Tammy has made, because although I have no proof, I think she may be trying to poison her. Little dinner party reference there. I will say I'm disappointed in one person at that table, and that is Lo. Why didn't he jump in there with like a wise but concise, excuse me, or a how's that? Can you see him just like turning his head and his beard following? That would have made me, like, I probably actually would have pulled an Angela. I would have come into this podcast high-fiving all of you, but he did nothing. What the hell? If Lo were my husband, I would have gotten his ass in the car and been like, what the hell, dude? Why didn't you say anything? Did you hear that bitch Tammy tell me not to talk to her mom? Where were you? Why didn't you tell her all the things that I wanted you to say, but I'm too much of a wuss to say myself? But Lo did nothing. Maybe his power comes from silence, or maybe he gains power in a situation through his beard. Like, was his name Samson from the Bible? Whoa, that just like erupted from my subconscious out of nowhere. I have not thought about church or Bible in a really long time, but I'm literally having flashbacks of my dad telling me bedtime stories about Samson's hair and my third grade religion teacher, Mrs. Genta, teaching us about Samson and Delilah. Whoa! You can take the girl out of a Catholic church, but you can't take the Catholic and Catholic guilt out of the girl. What I'm trying to say is I think Lo could have said more. I think Kalani actually said more by saying less, by being the more quiet one, I guess kind of like Lo. So they did the right thing. At the end of the day, the moral of the story is Tammy is a massive bitch. Now, I also want to give a MVP award to Kalani's mom. I love how she asked Asuelu how he felt at the end of the meal, because it reminded me of a mom asking how her son went after the first day of school. You know, like, did it go how you wanted it to go? Did you meet any new friends? Well, I'm so glad that you were such a brave boy and you did it. Like, she's a good mom and a very sweet mother-in-law. So Asuelu, he's in good hands. He's still at the emotional age of an 8-year-old, but I trust Kalani and Kalani's family with Asuelu's heart more than I trust his own family. Speaking of families, yeah, DaBella, DaBall, Elizabeth, and Andre. Well, first of all, holy fucking contour. Jen contoured Libby's face within a millimeter of her Kylie lip-kitted lips. That makeup application was criminal. Not as criminal as Elizabeth's family's records, not like Andre's past, But even Jen, who did the makeup, was looking at Elizabeth with disdain, like, ugh, you look beautiful. I mean, you look Moldovan, like a little Moldovan woman, but you look good. Okay, first of all, fuck off, Jen. Jen herself looks like she stole her daddy's credit card and spent it on bad highlights and then got declined at the orthodontist office. So shut the fuck up. She walks around like her shit doesn't fucking stink, and I'm so tired of it. I want to talk about Charlie, obviously. This asshole is pulling ahead of Daddy Chuck in the worst male podcast in an unsupporting role. Yeah, I thought about that one, and it's going to be in the Emmys this year. He asks Andre in front of this massive hundreds of year old church, why is it so serious? Fucking kidding me? It's a wedding in a church. This is not an exclusive Moldovan thing. Now, the reception, that was something that's uniquely Moldovan, but it was lovely. It was a lot of dancing. It was very Dancing with the Stars, but everyone was happy. Even Chuck looked like he was a pig in shit. Jen was into the dancers. Libby's mom was loving the attention. She's not off my shit list because I think this woman is just as bad, if not worse, than all of her daughters. But then Charlie really upped the game. I didn't think it was going to go this far. I thought we were getting teased with all of the commercials, you know, like, oh, it looks like it's going to be bad, but they'll grab the microphone or he'll end up saying, I love you, welcome to the family. But it really did get bad. Charlie keeps drinking and running his mouth. And it seems to me like Charlie might be, oh, I don't know, drinking some of his own financial insecurities away. Because why else would a grown man with a wife and a few kids himself be boo-hooing about daddy not giving him the same amount of money as his little sister? Charlie and Chuck are cut from the same cloth, and I'd assume, allegedly, that they're in the same family business together, maybe up to some shady business practices and allegedly not paying their bills and living on extended credit. And if daddy spent more money on your sister than you, you grown man baby, then take it up with your dad. Or would you not dare because you're a weak little bully who puffs his chest by wearing bedazzled jeans and walks around like his face doesn't look like a bloated piece of shit? And by no means am I excusing the rest of Elizabeth's family because not one of them called Charlie out for any of his behavior or that speech. You know, if that were any sibling, any friend, family member, any one of you who would have been standing next to me at a wedding giving that speech, I would have tackled you if I had to. Game over, you're cut off, bye-bye, and I would have locked the frickin' doors. But none of them did that because they're all horrible people, every single one of them. Don't let the makeup, the clothes, the soon-to-be allegedly foreclosed homes fool you. All of them are the kind of people who want to make America great again, so fuck them. Now, we did not get any St. John and Tanya this week, but next week's teaser looks pretty amazing. Like I said, St. John's mom is ready to throw the fuck down, and I want a claymation celebrity deathmatch version of Tanya with her one crutch and Mama St. John, and I want her to grab the crutch, I want her to take it, I want her to hit Tanya behind the knee, and make all of my dreams come true. If you would like to hear more, make sure you check out the links in the show notes, patreon.com/lovetohateTV. Remember, this week, I'll be doing a recap of Life After Lockup. I'll also be doing that little bony bonus episode about the Chris Evans accident. Total Request Podcast, this week, I'm having Amanda watch an episode of House Hunters International, which is one of my all-time favorites because it is so cringy. It's one of those couples that you're watching and you're like, how are people not talking about this episode? That's at the $6 level. Last week at the $6 level, we had an epic crossover, four of us talking about the season two All-Stars Drag Race season with the hosts of All Right Mary, Colin and Johnny. And it was, I mean, I don't know how we're ever going to top that episode. Also coming up this week at the $4 level, an episode of Mystery Diners. And last week we covered, I want to say almost probably half the season of season two of Netflix You. Really, we were only supposed to watch the first episode, but Amanda binged the whole thing. So there's some spoilers in there. So a heads up if you have not finished the season yet. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. And yeah, I'm going to be one of those annoying podcasters that says, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes, even if it's not a written review. Just clicking those 5 stars helps spread the podcast and helps me be able to bring you more. So thank you guys so much. I'll talk to you next week. Take care of yourself. Take care of the people you love. Wear a damn mask and stay salty.